When you pray, you probably are, you know, either down on your knees or you're humble in your mind. You're bowed low. And you are adoring, not only requesting, but adoring when you pray a praise, God. And that's the word that is used in the New Testament to mean worship. Proskuneo. It means to make obeisance, to do reverence, to adore and kiss and reverence a person. Now, it's used mostly in relationship to God, and second mostly in relationship to Christ. Those two people, and there are dozens of scriptures, you know, When the wise men came, they came to proskuneo, to Christ, to bow down, to worship, to adore him, reverence him. And you see all, you know, when Hebrews 1:6, let all the angels worship him. And when Jesus stilled the storm, when the disciples were out on the lake, you know, the Sea of Galilee, that small lake, it's really, it's called a sea, but it's really a lake. And a small lake, you know, not a huge, you know, it's a big enough lake, but it's not like Lake Erie or like, you know, the Great Lakes we have here. But it's a lake, and when the wind comes down, that off the mountains there, around it, it can churn up very fast, and it can be very scary, and you're in a boat, and the lake and the water is going very up and down, and up and down, and you're out in the middle of the lake. And Jesus got up and calmed the winds. You know, he rebuked them because, you know, Mary was sleeping in the back of the boat. And the disciples said, don't you care? We're going to die. And he finally got up and he rebuked the storm. He rebuked the wind and it's settled down. And the Bible says, and they worshiped him. Proskuneo, toward him. They worshiped him. It's referred to Jesus. It's referred to God. And they bow down to him. They proskuneo him. When Jesus healed some people, then the woman came up and she bowed down, and she made reverence, adoration to him. Now, it's used, according to the, if you look at the scriptures, and if you go to the Art and Gingrich's lexicon, they say, well, there's one other place, and they use one scripture where it was done to a man. And we covered that last time in Matthew 18. You remember that? One passage where it was done to a man, proskuneo is used to a man. And that was in Jesus' parable of the king who was a type of God the Father. And the man who owed him so much bowed down to him and reverenced him. Okay? Now, the Bible uses it. That's the only place it's done for a man. I'll show you another place that some people try to drag up and say that it was. But it is done to Satan. You remember when Satan said, you know, I'll give you all this if you will bow down and worship me, bow down and serve me, if you will worship me. Remember that? Throw yourself on the ground, worship me. And Jesus said, no. That's when he got upset. He said, get behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Because the Bible says you shall worship God and him only, the eternal, and him only shall you serve. And that's the word proskuneo. Jesus, you use that word. You should worship proskuneo. God and him only shall you serve. All right, so we see that word is used only of God and Christ in a good way. Only of God and Christ, or an analogy of God in a good way. But it's used in the book of Revelation. I'm going to turn there for a minute. In the book of Revelation, it's used in chapter 9, verse 20. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands so as not to worship. They didn't quit worshiping demons and the idols of gold and silver and of brass and of stone and of wood which can neither see, hear, nor walk. They continued to worship these, and the word is proskuneo, again. Now, also in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, you see that people worshipped whom? They worshipped the beast in chapter 13 and verse 4. They worshipped the dragon, that's Satan, and that gave his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast. So the word proskuneo is used here, but now, is that used in a good sense? No, it's used in an evil sense. You know, this is what you're not supposed to do. And they worshiped the dragon, which is Satan, and they worshiped the beast. Then you see they worshiped the image of the beast later on in chapter 13. I won't go into all that. They worshiped the image of the beast, they worshiped the beast, they worshiped demons, and they worshiped idols, all of which are forbidden and we're told not to do. Now let's come. Let's say a person wants to bow down and worship someone. Let's say how it's used in a way that is not correct. You'll see it here in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to read it in the King James Version first. And here it is. And as this is Acts 10, 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. Now, you remember, Cornelius had prayed for somebody to come, bring him the truth, bring him the gospel, because he was a God-fearer, but he didn't know, and he knew a little bit about Jesus, and he wanted to hear more. And here came Peter. As a result of his prayers, God sent Peter to him, Cornelius. And when he saw Peter, he fell down at his feet and worshipped. Proskuneo. Now, what does Peter do when he falls down in front of him and worships? Peter, in chapter 10, verse 26, Peter raised him up and said, "Stand up, get up. I, too, am just a man. I'm just a man like you." And he talked with him, and he entered and found many people assembled. Now, so are we supposed to bow down with a worship for that reverence to men? No, not at all. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the King Nebuchadnezzar's great image. He would not bow down to it. Even though it was just a piece of wood, he would not bow down. Now take a look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 14. And the four beasts said, "Amen." Oh, by the way, you also remember in the book of Revelation at the end there, when John is getting all these revelations, and this angel is taking John around and giving him visions of heaven. And then John is so overwhelmed, and this angel is so much more powerful, John falls down and begins to worship the angel. And the angel said, "Get up, don't do this, only worship God." That's again the word proskuneo. You cannot do that to anyone else. Now, Revelation chapter 5, verse 14, and the four beasts said, Revelation 5, verse 14, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. And that's the proper use. Who would they fall down before? God, you see. Now, there are people who point out, they say, "Well, look at this. It's not unusual to use that word." Because I'm going to tell you, Matthew uses, I'm going to show you how many times Matthew uses it. It's in your bulletin today as well. But take a look in Matthew. It's in Matthew to Christ. Matthew 2:2, 2:8, 2:11, Matthew 8 verse 2, Matthew 9 verse 18, Matthew 14 verse 23, Matthew 15, 25, Matthew 20 verse 20, Matthew 28 verse 9, Matthew 28 verse 17, John 9 verse 38, Hebrews 8, 1, 6, all references to worshiping Christ, all of them, all references to worshiping Christ, proskuneo to Christ, okay? Now, they say, "Well, that doesn't mean anything, because look over here," they say. Remember, now, they already quoted Matthew 18, verse 26, where he fell down and worshiped him. But that was an analogy of the man who was analogous to God the Father in the parable. Then they quote this, Revelation 3 and verse 9. 3 and verse 9. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you." Worship before your feet. Now, does it say worship you, or worship at your feet? Worship in front of your feet. Now, the word, the Jews had a very interesting word, and it was an idiom. It's an idiom in Hebrew. It's also an idiom in the Greek language. And that was at the feet of someone. You remember in John chapter 10 and verse 38, when Jesus went to see Mary and Martha, you remember the famous thing, you know, and Martha says, "Well, why, Lord, why don't you tell my sister to come help me serve?" And he said, "Martha, Martha, you're concerned about a lot of things, but Mary has chosen what's the best." And the Bible says, while Martha was up, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. The phrase to sit at someone's feet means to be educated by them, to be taught by them. Okay, that's what it means. And you'll notice how in lectures and talks, you know, people are usually up on a stand or something, and the people who are listening are below, and they're listening, and they're so to speak, at your feet. Now, so you have that phrase. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version, Paul is making a wonderful defense. It's one of the great defenses of all time. But I'm going to turn there in the New American Standard Version here. Acts 22 and beginning in verse 3. And so he addresses this group in the Hebrew tongue. He says, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated..." Now, here's how the New American Standard Version translates that. Literally, it reads in the Greek, "at the feet of Gamaliel," and they just put it, "educated under Gamaliel," because they know it's an idiom. Okay, so they're not going to translate each single word, whereas the King James will translate it literally, "at the feet of," meaning subject to, under the tutelage of, you know, Gamaliel. So it says here, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus, brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today." Now let me read that in the New English translation. They translate it like this: "I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, and educated with strictness." Now, with strictness meant precision, with preciseness. Gamaliel taught with precision the law, not just strictness. You know, a lot of people, you know, if you hear the word strict, what do you think of? "Oh, I'm going to smack you, I'm going to correct you, he's very strict," meaning very punitive. That's not what it meant at all back there. Strictness meant he was very precise how he taught it. He applied it correctly. Everything was taught with precision, not haphazardly, you see. It didn't mean strict, you know, "I'm going to smack you." I had a strict music teacher. Every time I made a mistake on my clarinet, he would whack me with his baton. That was strict, you know. But it wasn't necessarily precision. We were taught with strictness, with a precision under Gamaliel, according to the law of our ancestors. Now, the New English translation shows you that the Greek should read, "I was taught strictly," in other words, precisely, "at the feet of." They say the Greek says "at the feet of," which is an idiom. Okay? He was brought up under Gamaliel, educated with strictness or with precision, punctual, very careful. It was done right, okay? That's what Paul is meaning here. And to do at the feet of Gamaliel, man, I came up under him. He was my teacher at the feet of someone. So when the Bible says in the book of Revelation 3:9, "I'm going to make them who are the synagogue of Satan," you know, they say they're Jews, but they're of the synagogue of Satan, "to come and worship before your feet," at your feet. They're going to worship God at your teaching, through your teaching. What is the church going to do? You're going to sit on the throne. We're going to rule over nations or groups and peoples and cities and states and so on and teach them. Now, Gamaliel, by the way, This is a very interesting passage. So let me read it to you. Gamaliel was a famous, very famous Jewish scholar. And I want to read this and go back to chapter 5. You'll see it here. He was well known. He was the grandson of a guy by the same name, and is referred to as Gamaliel the Elder, to avoid confusion by historians. He's quoted a number of times in the Mishnah, and he was given the highest possible title for teachers, Rabbi. Now, there's Rabbi, okay, which meant my teacher. Rabbi, you're my teacher. There's Rabbon, which meant our teacher. And then there's Rabbi, which means the teacher. Okay, he was given this highest possible. And remember when Jesus came out, I think Mary gave him very high, the Rabboni, our teacher. Rabboni, our teacher. You're our teacher. Let's come back to the book of Acts chapter 5. You'll see how well respected this man was, just as an aside here, but it's a very good aside. This is Matthew 5, dropping down to verse 26. Now, you remember that the disciples were caught and smacked around and told, you're not to preach in this name. So they got caught again. And someone came and reported to them, the men, and this is verse 25, Acts 5, that you put in prison are standing at the temple teaching people. Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence. They were afraid of the people, that they might be stoned. And when they brought them back, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them. Now, he says, we've gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this man's name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted at the right hand of and as a prince and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. But when they heard this, this is the Sanhedrin now. They were cut to the quick and they intended to kill them. This is how we're going to get rid of you. You won't listen to us when we told you don't do it. We're going to kill you. Now, this is the Sanhedrin. This is the council of the elders. This is the ruling body in Judah at that time, in Judea. But a Pharisee, verse 34, named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people. This is how well known and well respected he was. Stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. Could you take those guys out of here for a minute? Let's all discuss this. I want to discuss it in front of the apostles that were there. Put these men outside. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed, and it came to nothing. In other words, he was killed probably by some of his own men in all kinds of vying for authority. Verse 37, after this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census, and he drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. Verse 40, they took the advice. And after calling the apostles in, they flogged them. And they took the advice only to a certain amount. You know, they're going to let you go for free. But they gave them a good whipping and ordered them not to speak in the name of Christ. And then they released them. They didn't kill them. They were going to kill them all. Kill them all would have destroyed Christianity right there. All the apostles were gone. They were destroyed. And they were going to kill them, but they didn't kill them. Of course, God wouldn't have let it. And every day in the temple, they went ahead into the house, and they kept on preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, it's interesting that Gamaliel, Paul says, I got my education at the feet of Gamaliel. Evidently, by this time, Paul had already gotten his education. He had already become some sort of a rabbi and a teacher in Jerusalem and in other places. But when Paul came, when it came to hearing about Christianity, did Paul follow the general wisdom that Gamaliel said? Oh, no. Paul said, I haled them into prison and I had them put to death. He had Christians put to death. He made them blaspheme or die. He was so zealous for his father's religion, for the Jewish religion. I'm going to stamp out this Christianity. And he did not follow the... And I don't think, of course, Gamaliel... He didn't even hear this advice from Gamaliel. But he certainly didn't follow it. Just an interesting aside, you know. So Paul was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. So the feet of someone was an idiom that meant you were being taught by them. You're taught by them. Now take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 3. I'm going to read this in the King James Version, the New American Standard, and the New English Translation. King James says, yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in your hand, and they sat down at your feet. Every one shall receive of your words. The New American Standard Version reads, indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone receives your words. The New English Translation translates it like this. Surely he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your power, and they sit at your feet, each receiving your words. So the translation is based then on the reference to feet, and this reference is in regard to the instructions you receive. King James says it, Authorized Version says it, New English Translation says it. Others will say, at your feet they will all bow down. Others say they will follow in your steps. Some that they will march at your heels. It's a Hebrew expression that could be probably translated several ways. But it has to do with being taught at your feet. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 14. Thus says the Eternal, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans. I'm reading from Isaiah. I'm reading from the Jewish Publication Society's translation. This is Isaiah 45, verse 14. And thus says the Eternal, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be yours. They shall go after you in chains, and they shall come over. And they shall fall down to you, and they shall make supplication to you. And they will say, surely God is in you. And there is none else. There is no other God. Now they know there's only one God, so they're not worshiping you. But they will fall down, this is to Israel, and bow down to them and say, God is in you. We want to learn more about God. So they're going to again fall down again to be taught. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23 talks about bowing down to them. And the kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their face to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you shall know that I am the Eternal, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. In other words, God's going to bring them to humble themselves after they hurt you, they destroyed you, they tried to hurt you, and then at the end they're going to bow down. God's going to do that. That's God doing it. But again, it's not to worship you, but to bow down, to listen to you, and to make apologies. Isaiah 60 in verse 14. And the sons of them that afflicted you shall come bending unto you. And they that despised you shall bow down at the soles of your feet, and they shall call on you, and they shall call you the city of the eternal and the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Now you, the church, we think that this, you know, refers to the great church in the future, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. They will bow down. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation was saying in Revelation 3. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship at your feet, before your feet. And, you know, they'll worship whom? They don't worship you. They're worshiping God. And to know that I have loved you. To know that God has loved you. That God was in you. They come down to bow down and humble themselves. So the four, and in Revelation chapter 19, verse 4, you remember this, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down. Remember that phrase, pipto, it means fall down, and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah, that is, yeah, praise God. So we have a number of places where people fall down. Now what happens if you fall down to a person? If you not just fall down, but you worship the proskuneo when it's used of a person. Let's take a look in Acts chapter 14. Here's a little story. Paul and Barnabas go out. And they're coming to these cities in the Gentile world, Asia Minor. And they come across this man who's listening to Paul. And when Paul had fixed his gaze on him. Now, the guy, he saw that this man had faith to be healed, and the man couldn't walk. The guy said, and this is Paul saying, he said with a loud voice, Paul says, stand upright on your feet. And immediately he leaped up and began to walk. When the crowds saw that Paul had done, what had Paul had done, they raised their voice saying in the Lyconian, they're in Lycus there, the Lyconian language, the gods have become like men and have come down to us, the gods, you know. Remember, the Greeks worshipped a lot of gods. They had, you know, the cavorting and, you know, the philosophers didn't like it. They didn't think it was smart to have all these gods. They didn't like that. But the average person, they had a lot of gods. They had a god for this, and a god for that, and a god for something else, a god of war, a god of peace, a god of rain. They had all these different gods. And they said, the gods have come light down to us. And then they began calling Barnabas Zeus. And Paul, they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. He did more speaking. And then, well, he's Hermes. Then the priest of Zeus, here comes the priest out of there, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. Now they're all going to worship and adore and offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. And when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they heard, here they come, hey, they want a sacrifice to you guys. They're going to bring on some oxen. They want to make a sacrifice to you. They believe you're gods. When they heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and we preach the good news to you that you should turn away from these vain things to the living God. You should get away from this and turn to the living God. Get away from these dead gods. The living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. So notice what they do. They don't accept this worship, this adoration. They don't accept these. In order to show how human they are, they tear their clothes. You see their bare skin. And they rush out into the crowd to stop it. Then in verse 16, they say, in the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts and food with gladness. Even saying these things. Now, even when Paul and Barnabas are trying to with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. Even saying all this, you know, and trying to, they finally said, well, okay, all right, we take the cows back, take all this stuff back, you know, and the sheep and, you know, and all that oxen, take it back. We're not going to do it, I guess. With difficulty, they stopped them. They stopped people from coming up and worshiping them. And that's the right thing to do. There was an occasion where someone did not stop it. Here it is in the book of Acts, chapter 12. This was when King Herod sat up on the throne, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne. Now he's up on the throne. He's the king, king of Judea. And he made an oration unto them. He's now talking, making a speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It's the voice of a God and not of a man." Now he's up in this splendor. Now you can imagine, it's a beautiful day. He's out there in front of the crowd. He's got all his royal robes, this, you know, all the sparkle of the jewels and all the stuff, and he's speaking to them, and you know, his voice is booming out there, and people say it's the voice of a God and not a man. And he sits there and says nothing. He sits there and basks in the worship of all these people. And what happens? And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory. He gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up his spirit, gave up the ghost. That is, he died. He was eaten inside with worms, in his intestinal tract, everything with worms. And he died. You don't dare take the glory and the worship that belongs only to God. No man should do that. So when the Bible applies, I just want to show you why. When the Bible applies the word proskuneo, to worship, to bow down and adore to God, I mean, it applies it to God, to Christ. Every other event is wrong. If it's to anybody else, it is wrong. Cannot be done to sticks, to stones, to idols, to demons, to the beast's power, to the image of the beast, to Satan, or anybody else. You remember? Satan said to Jesus, what did he say? Let's go back to read that. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 4. He says to him, I want to show you all these kingdoms of the world. See all these kingdoms? I'll give them to you. All these things I will give to you if you will fall down, peepto, and worship me, proskuneo. And Jesus said, get out of here. For it is written, you shall proskuneo the eternal, your God, and him only shall you serve. Now that's another Greek word. The word serve comes from the Greek word letreou. And it means, it's a kind of a cultic thing that you do, to serve someone. And Paul used it when he said, you know, after the way which they call a sect or heresy, I serve the God of my fathers. We serve God. We don't serve idols. We don't bow down to them. We don't worship them. And we don't serve them. But we are servants of Jesus Christ. He alone deserves our servitude. We will serve him in a worshipful way. That doesn't mean we can't serve one another. It's a different Greek word, by the way, when it tells you we serve one another. By through love, serve one another. That's a different word. The word latreo means to serve in a cult, in a way of worship, worship service. Only God deserves our worship service. And we serve Him. We are, and a great compliment is to be, a servant. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one is greater than his servant. You know, a servant is no greater than his master, he said that. No, a servant cannot be greater than his master. So there we are. God is the object of our worship. And Jesus, because he was worshiped, moves into the category. Same thing, see? I think it was, I've forgotten who it was. It was a Pythagoras, the theorems and all that. Things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. We learned that in geography, but a lot of people forgot it.